All right. Well, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. This morning, I want to preach the gospel, the good news. Whenever we hear that, everyone usually, whenever they hear about good news, usually they think something good is going to happen to them. There's several movements and songs that bless people for something good is going to happen to you. And truly, the gospel is good news. But we hear that so often, and so many people get excited about it, and so many people talk about this good news, and we just want to find out a little bit about what that good news is. We talked about it just a little bit earlier, a few weeks ago, just a little bit, and we read there in Luke where the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men." And we looked at that, and we want to look at it from God's point of view and not man's. Whenever man hears good news, he thinks something good is about to happen to me. And whenever God speaks of good news, he talks about really great news, that there's redemption and salvation. And we want to just look at that this morning. The real gospel. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, there was delivered unto him the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened to him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?' And he said unto them, 'You surely will say to me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, we also hear in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Isaiah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sephrata, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elihu the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." The good news. He came and he read a portion of the scripture that told his purpose for coming, the good news. And by the time he had spoke 3 minutes, they were all filled with wrath at what he had to say. Do you think it sounded like good news to the world? No. The world loves what they're doing. He came, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He came to set people free from Satan's bondage. He came to preach to the poor people. He didn't come to make people poor. He came and preached to them. He came, the poor were people who were oppressed, people who were servants. And he came and preached to them that there is a better place coming. He came with good news. He came to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. He came the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And in 3 minutes they were all mad at him. Now why would that be? He came to do all these good things, and they were mad at him before he had preached for 3 minutes. They were full of wrath because they loved their sin. People don't want to be set free, is why they don't want the good news, and why the good news is not really good news to the world. The world loves the world. Oh, it's got its drawbacks. It's got its dangers. But that makes it a little more challenging to see if we can walk the fine line in between the world and being a Christian. Being a Christian is loving the good news. If we were poor and had a taskmaster over us that was working us and barely paying us, and someone came along and was going to set them free from that, that'd be good news. But when we don't realize that we're in bondage, we don't realize that we're in poverty, and in fact, we like where we're at, we don't want to be delivered. That's why the good news is not good news. The world's idea of good news is, I get to go to heaven after I've lived my life here for myself. The good news is, Jesus came to destroy sin. And when you talk about Jesus coming and destroying sin, well, the first idea is, yeah, that's good. He's going to defeat the old devil. But then when you talk about Jesus is going to destroy your lust, Jesus is going to destroy your greed, Jesus is going to destroy your envy, your hatred, and all of those things, Jesus is going to destroy your good times. Doing it your own way. Living for yourself. Well, wait a minute. That's not so good news. You mean, I'm going to not be able to do the things I want to do? Well, that's not good news. That sounds like bondage to me. That's exactly the way the gospel ought to sound to people who don't want set free from their sin. The world is so, Christian world is so, oh, we don't want to make the gospel sound like it's a bad thing. So we're not going to preach about what you can't do. The thing about it is, what you can't do is bondage. That's sin. And they don't want to preach about that because someone will think they have to give up their sin. The problem is, it's not about giving up from sin. It's do I want out of it or not? And when you don't want out of it, you don't want the good news. You don't want the gospel. Good news are to those who are bound by it. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That's our message. To someone in bondage to sin that wants set free from it, it's good news. But to someone who loves their sin, it's bad news. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And so we began to make it where they want to hear it. Twist it around a little bit so we can make it where they want to hear it. Make it sound better to them. Put a circus on with it. Dress it all up. Make it look a lot better. So they'll like it. Instead of just telling them, the good news is that Jesus is going to destroy sin and its bondage and set you free from it. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. 1 John says that he came and he destroyed the works of the devil. That's the message. That's the good news. There's a man that used to, there's a man that I visit quite a bit, and visited him for several years, just go see him once a week. And he used to go visit some of his other buddies, there's an old man that he used to go visit with, and he worked in a bar or worked in a beer joint or sold beer, sold alcohol or something. And one time he went in there and he said, yeah, he talked to the fella and he said, yeah, I just talked to old Dave. He said he wants to shut down all the bars down in Berry County. And I don't think he even said anything like that. He's just teasing him. And he said he just started laughing. He said he just started mad, got mad and swearing and cursing just because the idea was that somebody was going to take away some sin. That's the whole idea. It made him mad that someone would take away sin. He got all upset with him, and he wouldn't even talk with him for 2 or 3 weeks. And he was just joking him. There's a lot of truth in that. Why do people get filled with wrath after just hearing 2 or 3 minutes? Because the good news they've been taught about all their life isn't really good news to them. They don't want someone taking their sin away from them. You know why people sin? Do you know why people do what's wrong? Because they love it. Do you know why people can't quit sinning? It's because they like it. They love to sin. They enjoy it. And when someone comes along and says, I'm going to take that away because it's wrong. Jesus came and destroyed it. He's going to take it away from you. Well, that's about like stealing candy from a baby to them. They don't want to hear that. They want some good news. They want to have their sin, and they don't want to go to that old nasty hell. But they sure don't want to give up their sin. Heard a little song somewhere the other day that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to go now. You know why they don't want to go to heaven? Listening to the little song, we kind of portrayed it as people just sitting up there on harps, and, you know, twirling harps and just sitting on a cloud there. Just sounds kind of boring. You got to almost be doing something wrong before you can have fun. So let's just go ahead for a little while. I want to live it up for a little while. I want to just go ahead and have my fun. Then when I have to die, well, if I have to, then I'll go on to heaven. I just don't want to go to that other place. It's a bad place. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to hear about hell. And don't really want to hear about heaven. But when I die, when I have to die, that's where I want to go. But I don't really want to go there. I'll go just to avoid the other place. And that's about where the gospel is today. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's what he came into the world to do.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Whenever we go out preaching, we need to be looking for people who want to hear the truth. That's what it means whenever he said, I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say that we'd go out and just catch everything we threw a net around. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. A lot of times we try to defend our preaching. Have to write why we believe or spell it out or expand on it so much. Instead of just believing it and letting him who has ears to hear, hear it. We don't have to defend it. If they don't want to hear it, if they don't want set free, let them love it. Let them enjoy it. Life will soon be over. They'll look back and hear, just like the man that went to hell. Remember. Remember. You enjoyed your life then. Not that we can't enjoy life. There's no greater enjoyment in life than to be what we were created to be. There's some excitement in it. You don't have to live a sinful life to have an exciting life and to have fun. Heaven isn't going to have any sin in it. That's why people don't want to go there. Oh, it's better than the other place. But they look at it as some place that's going to be boring. That's why they have to be entertained from morning till night. There's not going to be a bunch of entertainment in heaven. It's going to be real. It's going to be centered around God and doing His will, not just doing what we want to do and what pleases ourselves and what keeps us entertained day in and day out. The good news is God came to destroy sin. And people don't like that. Whenever we get right down to that message, that's the message they hate. That God is going to do away with what pleases them and pleases their flesh. Galatians chapter 5. Now the works, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Let's just begin at 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The truth is, they don't want the kingdom of God, because that stuff won't be there. Get you a dictionary out sometime and just look those words up. Kind of be surprised what you'd find some of them mean. Emulations, for one. Just, that's a competitive spirit. Wanting to compete all the time. To be the best. There's nothing wrong with doing your best. Just look some of those things up. People don't want to go to heaven. It isn't good news to them to be delivered from this world. They love it. They love their darkness. In people are making, last night we went to Branson and preached. And there was probably more people there than I've ever seen in Branson. And it was all about Christmas. The good news. There was one place advertising 4 million lights, come and see them. Another one had 2.5 miles of lights. You could drive them. More people than I've ever seen there. Lined up, they'd park their cars 5 miles away. Parking lots, every parking lot within 5 miles was jam-packed full, and they was hauling them in buses to go see 4 million lights. And I just thought, all these lights and darkness. More and more lights, but more and more darkness. Celebrating this good news. But if they heard the real good news, they'd be filled with wrath. They'd be filled with wrath. Jesus spoke for 3 minutes. And he told about the good news, and within 3 minutes they were filled with wrath. The other night on the street, I was preaching to a group of people. And almost every time somebody comes up and says, well, what about for God so loved the world? What about being saved? What about for God so loved the world that he gave his own? Didn't he love the world? Didn't he love the world? And when he said that, I realized something that I hadn't really realized before. Whenever the way that was said, doesn't God love the world? I told him, God's love's not on trial here. Yours is. It's not God's love that's on question. It's yours. God loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son. We don't have to shirk from that. He's not on trial. But you are. His love for you is not in question. And people are going around like whenever you talk about sin, that it's God's love that's in question here. But it's not. It's man's love that's on trial. It's who man is going to love. And the gospel has become shifted and twisted and perverted to where now God's on trial instead of man. Because they love their sin. And so the good news has to let them have their sin. And when they have to die, they'll go to heaven as opposed to going to hell. God's love isn't on trial. He showed His love by sending His Son. And if you can't see that, you won't see it. No matter how many books you read. Because you love your sin more than you love God. The good news is that if you're held captive to sin, you can be set free. If you want to. But if you want your sin, you're going to keep it and find a way to keep it. It isn't God on trial. It's not God's love that's in question. It's man's. It's amazing how people can turn it and twist it. Call white black and black white. Get us all tangled up sometimes. Trying to defend Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sins of the world. The good news is that God came to do away with sin. And that's bad news to someone who still wants to keep their sin. May the Lord help us as we keep that in focus. That we keep focused. His message, the Spirit of the Lord is upon Him. Back to Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind. Those who want to be blind, there is no one blinder than he who will not see. But if someone's blind and wants to see, there's light there. And to set them at liberty, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We've got some real good news to the captives, to the blind, to the poor. But it's bad news to anyone who wants to stay there. May the Lord add his blessings. Father, we come before you. Lord, we just thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the good news, Father. Lord, we just ask you to help us, Father, to proclaim it, Father. And Lord, that you'd help us be faithful to you, Father. Lord, that our message would be about the good news, Father. We ask your blessing on it. Give us wisdom in Jesus' name. I want to just add just there's a lot of hubbub about Christmas going on right now. And we don't need to be ashamed about Christ being born and coming into the earth. We don't know what day it is. We're pretty sure it's not, according to history, that it's not anywhere near this time of year. But it's a blessed thing. And it shouldn't just be celebrated one time a year. It should be part of the theme of our message that Christ came into this world. But with it is the purpose of him coming. It wasn't just to give us a gift. It was to set us free. To set us free. Whenever the message becomes so harmless that anyone can just take part of it, there's something wrong with it. And Christ doesn't want anything to do with what's being passed off as what he's... there was some people arguing last night, and there wasn't even no use arguing with them. If we can't see that all this garbage that's going on is against God. I mean, Jesus taught against
all of this materialism, this getting, this covetousness, this lusting after all these things. And if we can't see that the difference between the teachings of Christ and what's going on in the world, we just as well go look at 4 million lights and stumble around in darkness, thinking we're enjoying ourselves. If someone wants to have a special day, I don't have a problem with that. But I don't think we need to be dragging Jesus through it and just tacking his name on it to make us feel better. If you want to have a family day and exchange gifts, go for it. I don't care. But I don't think Jesus can stand having his name at the head of it. His blessings.